The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This program is sponsored by Sword and Dove Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Thanks for tuning in to Understanding the Times with Pastor Mike Folder, a call-in talk show that looks at current events and major issues of our generation through the lens of the sure word of faith and prophecy.
From the studios of 1220 The Word in Cleveland, Ohio, on the North Coast, the Great Lakes region of North America. I'm Mike Fodor. We have Brother Andrew spinning the dials, Mr. Enchantment himself.
Yes, I am here. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing well. How about you, Andrew?
A little under the weather, but getting through.
All right, good thing there's glass between us.
Yes, there is. So if I cough, it won't get on you.
Okay. We'll pray for you, brother.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to thank my number one sponsor, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is also the defender of the weak, defender of the fatherless or the orphans, and defender of the widows. That's quite a title, and he does a good job of that. And we're going to be talking about that with our guest tonight. We're going to have a special edition of Meet the Author, which I will introduce her in a moment. I also want to thank Ohio Media School. Hey, radio and television are exciting industries. If your dream is to work in front of or behind the cameras or microphones, well, then call Ohio Media School Cleveland now, 216-503-5900. Ohio Media School Cleveland trains you in less than a year. Class schedules are very flexible, and there is financial aid for those who qualify. Call right now and let Ohio Media School Cleveland make your dreams come true. 216-503-5900, and spark your passion. So this is the first Understanding the Time. We've had our Meet the Pastors. Now we have a Meet the Author. And I have in studio live Tricia Campbell, who is the author of a new book, Eight Was Enough, which is about her journey with adoption and foster parenting. And children, biological children of her own. We're going to talk about that book today and some of the joys and challenges of all that. Welcome, Tricia, to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Mike.
I'm certainly glad to have you here. And, you know, your publisher contacted me about coming on the show, and turns out that we know each other.
I know.
And
small world.
Your oldest son and my oldest son were best friends. They were each other's best men at their weddings.
Right.
And even my second son, Justin, is friends with Dan, good friends with Dan as well.
Yeah.
So Brandon, Justin, Dan are a little trio there. And
there
here we
go.
Are.
Here we are.
On the show. And
I know.
So I know I don't want to give too much away of your background and your testimony, but I know you're a native New Englander.
I am.
And you grew up a Patriots fan, maybe, no? Or not
well,
football?
No, football not so much, but definitely Celtics, Bo Sox, and the Bruins.
And no football after all that.
You know, the Patriots just, they were way down there in Foxborough. They weren't even in Boston.
Well, it didn't even count, huh?
No.
Practically Southerners.
Yeah.
But you grew up in Massachusetts and,
yes.
and Maine in
yep.
the summers, and
yep.
You grew up Catholic. I'm going to let you take it from there. I want to find out your journey on how you met the Lord, because it's a fascinating story. I did like that part of the book right out of the gates.
Well, I like I said, I grew up Catholic in Boston, and that was very common up in that neck of the woods. And as I got to college, I started to question my faith because I was a government and legal studies major, and I was watching all these people in El Salvador and in Central America being butchered and whatever going. I mean, it was just bad. And I was like, wait a minute. If they're God's people, why are they having such a hard time or whatever? And I didn't actually know that I didn't know God. So I started my own journey, and I started looking down every wrong path. I looked down the New Age path. I went down to Buddhism, Hinduism, I just went down every path. And at one point, I was actually down out in California. I went down, checked out Scientology, all these things.
Did you meet Tom Cruise?
I didn't. Oh, okay. I know. I was kind of shocked. but what happened was I was out there because I was going to work on a hunger project, and I was also going to San Diego State University. And I was still on my faith journey. I was looking everywhere because I wanted to know the truth. And I didn't know it at the time, but the Bible says that if you seek the truth, you will find it. And even though I wasn't functioning on that scripture because I didn't know it was there, I was definitely functioning on that truth. And God was going to make sure I found him, and I did.
Well, you were on a search for answers. You were on a bit of a spiritual quest yourself.
Right.
You probably didn't get all the answers you needed growing up, so.
Well, we didn't read the Bible, really. I mean, we dusted it, but we didn't really open it. It was there. I dusted it, but we didn't really open it.
Did you believed in God. Did you believe in Jesus as the Son of God?
Yes.
Okay.
All of that is part of Catholicism, yeah. But I grew up, and I did my first communion and my confirmation and all these things, but I never really understood the gospel through all of that catechism and stuff that I went through. I never really understood the gospel. So anyway.
And you found yourself south of the border.
Then I found myself south of the border. So I was working on a hunger project down in Mexico, and we fed the kids in the dumps and in the orphanages, and we actually even fed inmates at the Tijuana jail. But I found myself at one day, I was rocking one baby in one arm, another baby in another arm, and I was rocking another baby with my foot because they just never got enough tactile attention. The kids in the orphanages didn't, because the nuns would, you know, change them and feed them and then start over again. I mean, they just didn't have time for tactile attention. So right. I just, whenever we were there, I would just spend as much time holding kids as I could. And I was that one day I was holding one in each arm and rocking one with my foot. And I was like, you know, maybe I need to come back here and get some of these kids out of here, you know? And it just occurred to me, like, I really, really think I should adopt, you know? And so when my boyfriend at the time came down and proposed to me, while I was living there.
Who's now your husband?
Who's
Dave,
now my husband.
Almost 40 years.
That's
right?
Almost 40 years.
Right.
And he came down, and when he proposed, I told him I had to show him something first. So the poor guy had to wait days before I gave him an answer. But I had to take him down to Tijuana and show him what I meant, and that I really felt like I was going to go down the path of adoption someday, and that would he be on board with that. And he saw the need himself and felt similarly, you know, pricked in his heart. And so, yeah, he said he would, and I said, I will too. So then we got married. So
that was pretty important to you at that point. That had become your dream, and that had almost become a criteria for you.
Oh, yeah.
Saying to somebody?
Well, I didn't think it would be fair to say yes and not be honest about that. I mean, that's pretty transformative as far as who you are and where you're going, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, I did have to be honest about that.
And he's been a very supportive partner with you all along the journey.
Oh, he's been my rock, yeah. He's been really incredible. I mean, there were some times when we just look at each other like, what is going on? You know, I mean, there were a lot of times like that, but that's okay. I mean, that truly means God's in control, right? I mean, when you go, what's going on?
And then you guys got married and found yourself back in Cleveland, Shaker Heights area, right?
Actually, no. We were on the west side for quite a while.
West side.
Mm-hmm. My first job was teaching, and my job was in an independent school on the west side, and Dave was working a lot of times going out of the airport, so he didn't care which side we lived on, so we just lived closer to my job. And then later on, we ended up moving to the east side.
And you guys were going to an Episcopalian church, I
correct.
Believe.
Mm-hmm.
And you were involved in a small group, a
yes.
women's group, was
mm-hmm.
it? And
yep.
I wanted you to tell the story about, you know, how you came to the Lord in a personal way with Sarah's healing.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was pretty remarkable.
Right. Well, our daughter was just little, and she was having ear infection problems, and I had her at the doctor again, and he said we really need to do a surgery for her ears. She had had a burst eardrum, and they're all bloody and gross. And so I went to this Bible study, and I just said that I had, you know, my daughter was having this problem, and they said you should take her to the healing service. And I was like, that's for cancer and stuff. They're like, no, no, no. God cares about all these things. You should take her to healing service. So I took her to healing service, and they laid hands on her, and they prayed over her, and they prayed a scripture that's in the Psalms that said that seeing eyes and hearing ears, God made them both. And so they prayed that her ears would be perfect. So I took her back to the doctor the next day. And it was the day before the surgery.
Same doctor.
I took her back to the doctor who was going to just do his examination before the surgery the next day. And he said, he looked in her ears. He looked all puzzled. Then he looked at me. Then he looked back in her ears and he said, I don't know. If I had never seen these ears before, I'd say there'd never been a problem because there's no residue from the blood and there's no scarring from all these problems she's had. They're perfect. And I said, oh, my gosh.
And they used that word
the elders had said they prayed that her ears would be perfect even as God had made them to be perfect. And I as soon as he said that, it just sort of blew my mind. And I just they canceled the surgery and she was healed.
The very next day, that's an amazing miracle because that
really
doctor
neat.
Said her ears were really bad. He was a specialist, right?
And he had seen them before, so he knew they were a mess.
And she wasn't—you didn't even know how much she was really hearing and picking up. Wow! And,
yeah.
and that really led you to the Lord.
Yes.
And I'm
going
to have you finish that story in a moment, but okay. we want to remind you too that we are a live call-in talk show. If you want to call in and talk to Tricia, you can call 888-677-WORD, W-O-R-D. If you're having trouble hearing us on the radio, you can always listen live by going to Odyssey.com or iHeart or the word Cleveland.com, our station site. But we are coming to you live with Tricia Campbell, the book Eight Was Enough from Cleveland, Ohio.
If you thought there was drama and tension in the Hunger Games, how about the Gender Games, where we all participate, like it or not? God sure made life interesting when he sculpted Eve. In the Gender Games course, Mike instructs Christians on the dynamics and challenges of relationships between the two sexes. From the thrill of dating to the agony of divorce, romance and the marriage bed, and yes, even cohabitation and gaiety. This course comes in an attractive 10-CD case or in MP3 files, class handouts included. To order, call or text Mike at 216-346-0789. A $50 donation to Sword and Dove Ministries for the 10-CD set for your library. A $25 donation for 10 MP3 files. That's 216-346-0789.
If you're like me, you're looking for a safe investment vehicle that'll earn way more interest than the 1/20th of 1% at the bank. Perhaps you don't have the stomach, patience, or time horizon to be in the open market, what I call the world's biggest casino. Then call me at 216-346-0789. 1-800-273-0789. And let's talk some options. My tent maker vocation for decades is that of a licensed fixed index annuity and life insurance agent with financial planning concepts. Right now, you can get 2 to 3% guaranteed for 2 to 5 years in a fixed annuity, very similar to a CD. And if you're pretty much retired, ask me about how you and your family can get a 25% bonus on your principal. So call me, Mike Fodor, at 216-346-0789. We can talk over the phone, online, or in person. Financial Planning Concepts. We solve tomorrow's uncertainties today.
Now back to Understanding the Times with Pastor Mike Fogel.
This show is underwritten and is one of the three pillars of Sword and Dove Ministries. We are a tax-deductible ministry, so please consider us in your donations. If you're a Christian, and you should be tithing to your local church to really experience the full blessings of God, and if you are, good for you. Perhaps you would consider an offering above and beyond to Sword and Dove. So you can Zelle a donation to 216-346-0789. You can also call in credit card info. That's 216-346-0789. Or you can send a check to the station, the word here, and it'll make its way to us. So we're back with Tricia Campbell, the author of Eight Was Enough. And we're going to get into the book this talk segment. But I am really amazed at your Episcopalian church that they were praying for the sick like that, and your daughter got a miraculous healing and the next day, and it was confirmed by the same specialist. And that kind of really got your attention, didn't it?
It really got my attention. I was like, who is this God? What is going on here? And I still wasn't converted at that point. But I called my Bible study leader and I told her what happened. And I didn't know what had happened actually. And so I was woken up one evening with the word Job. And I thought, you know, some women in my Bible study say, you know, God said this, or God told me that, or God showed me this, or whatever. And I was like, maybe that's what that is. And so I literally wrote J-O-B-E on the notepad next to my bed because I wanted to go look or whatever. Well, I spelt it wrong. And so clearly I'd never read Job. And then like 2 nights later, God woke me up. I could not go back to sleep, and this line kept going through my head. In him there is no darkness at all. In him there is no darkness at all. And I didn't know what that was about because I didn't know the scripture. And so I went downstairs and just sort of kneeled down on the carpet and just asked God to just make this clear to me, what's going on and what does he want? What do I need to do, etc. I didn't know. And so I started feeling like a poem coming up out of my heart. Like it just started to come. And I grabbed a notepad and I just started writing. It was almost like I wasn't writing. It was like it just came out of me. And it was a 12-line poem. It was 3 stanzas, 4 lines each stanza. And it just basically gave me, the first stanza was my problem. The second stanza was God's solution to the problem. And the third stanza was how I accepted the solution to the problem. So I literally, God, just, I got saved, just me, myself, and God. It was, that was how it went down. I could even say the poem because it just like seared in my spirit. It's original sin began at the fall. Our nature determined for each one at all. Cut off from our God, some way to begin. Our spirits cut off by original sin. The Lord sent His Son, such mercy as He. He came as a savior for you and for me. Now Jesus has come. We all can stand tall. In Him there is no darkness at all. And there was that line right in the middle of it. So reunion with God we can now complete, the sinner's prayer we all must repeat. Ask Christ in your life, He will come in, corrected you now, the original sin. And I was like, oh, and I just knew, and I understood. And
so you got born again, really, by a prophetic poem that
completely,
the Spirit of God just dropped in you. Like.
And I got so humbled because I finally went to Job, and I started reading and reading and reading, and I had been a pain in the neck to the Bible study teachers at my church, just a pain in the neck. In fact, one of them was Cody Risen, the football player.
Oh, yeah.
I was a pain in his neck. I mean, I would bring up like reincarnation or something, and he'd be like, no, it's given to man once to die and then the judgment. And I'd go, yeah, then why does it say Christ will come again? Huh? What is that about? And he'd be like, oh, you know. So anyway, I was a pain in the neck. So anyway, God like takes me to Job, you know, he woke me up with Job. And then I finally get to chapter 38, and it says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you and you will make it known to me. And then he went on to go, you know, who said that the shores would go this far and no more? And who set the stars in the sky? And who measured out the sands? And who, you know, not you, lady.
And you, I was like,
oh my gosh, I was so humbled. I was humbled, like so humbled and so happy.
Yeah.
Because I finally came to the end of all that questioning, which had gone on for a decade as I went down all those dark alleys looking at other places for the truth. And from that day forward, I've been...
Sooner or later, you got to find the answers to your questions in God's word. You got to believe God's word.
Right.
Face value.
Right. He's right, I'm wrong.
So let's get to your book. Why did you write Eight Was Enough? What led you to do this task?
Well, I was shortly after we got born again. Dave got, it's in the book, but Dave got saved shortly thereafter in his own thing. Like, it wasn't me. It was him and God.
Wow.
And I would say, 2 months, maybe not even 2 months later, I started to have a series of dreams about a black baby girl with one arm that was our daughter. And her name was Danielle, and our oldest son, as you mentioned, is Daniel. So I thought it was interesting that her name was Danielle. But I started to have these dreams, and every time I would have a dream about her, she was a different age, but she was still our daughter, and I would tell Dave about it. And we were on a business trip, and we went to a church near where we were staying at the time, and it was a divine setup. The pastor was speaking from the pulpit, and I had had another dream about Danielle the night before, and the guy started reading from the book of Mark where it says, and Jesus took a child among them and said, he who receives one such child receives not just me, but him who sent me. And I just was like he's just reading this to me. And I knew that we were supposed to adopt and that Danielle was our daughter. And so I just started weeping, and Dave was like, what's going on? Why is she crying? You know?
Yeah.
And but anyway, that was the call. So we had a calling
so
to
God
adopt.
Started speaking to you in dreams.
Correct.
About this, and he was actually kind of giving you names, and you were seeing faces, and
the whole thing.
You were seeing, he was kind of preparing you, leading you in this way.
Right. So, well, yeah.
You have, your first three were biological, your own
children,
right? Correct.
At that point, when we got saved, we already had three kids. Yeah.
Right.
So,
and then you went on to adopt, can I say?
Yeah.
Five more.
That's
children
how we got
after
to
that.
Eight was so enough.
Eight was enough, yeah.
Yeah. So we didn't know that at the time. I mean, when we started the adoption process, it was just, you know, it was just additive. Every time there was one more, God would lead us and guide us and show us the way, and he would bring them in the door.
So what were some of the, you know, most challenging things, you know, going this adoption route and having biological children, bringing them into the family? I mean, other than the financial, legal ramifications, which are biggies.
Yeah.
But how about some of the other intangibles?
Like transitioning them, you mean?
Right,
like in
right.
the whole
yeah,
process?
How's that
I
work?
Think our kids were young enough when we started the process that to them that was their normal. Daniel, I think, was only 7 when we started. And so Sarah would have been 5, Nate would be 3. Our first adoption was...
So they're like, Mom's bringing home another baby to join the family.
Here we go.
Yay!
Here we go. Well,
usually, though, they were kind of happy bring them in and make them feel at home and part of the family, right?
One of the adoptions, there was a person from our church. I didn't know she was there, actually. She was visiting someone. We had a carriage house apartment, and there was a couple living there, and this lady was visiting them, and I brought home Sean. And when I pulled in the driveway, the kids were all out playing in the snow, and they just circled the car. And she said that she just was so wowed by that. So they came downstairs from the apartment, and then they came in the house, and we had gotten pizza because, you know, kids love pizza for dinner. It's like a party if you have pizza. So we were just in there, and we were completely focused on Sean. I honestly don't even remember this lady was there. But she said that it brought her to tears to watch the way the kids just took him in like an amoeba. They just enfolded him. He was just one of them. And she said, I expected it out of you and Dave, but the kids. And I was like, yeah, that's how they roll. So, yeah.
So integration of the family went pretty well then. And, of course, knowing the Lord and having church in the picture and Christian education at home.
Right.
You know, all that probably made it a lot easier, I would think.
I think so, because the kids knew that it was by God's leading, in that if God's bringing another kid in our family, then we always told them, you know, people come into families in different ways. So if they come by foster, might come by adoption, they might come by just being a friend that becomes part of your family. I mean, it just, you know, people come into families different ways. So
the doctor said something funny to you, though, one time, wasn't it? About what kids are going to think this is how.
Oh, yeah. He said, you're going to have to be really careful with their sex ed because they think they walk in the door.
that's funny.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk some more about that on the other side here, about some of the challenges you did go through, like with foster parenting and the system and social workers. How can they get your book, 8 Was Enough, especially if they're interested in this story, or maybe they're thinking about adoption themselves?
Right.
God's put that in their heart.
You can get 8 Was Enough on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can also pick it up at Fireside Books in Chagrin Falls, which is near our house. And you can also go on my website, which is TrishaKCampbell.com, and there's a button that just says buy the book, and you can go that way.
TrishaKCampbell.com. There you go.
Yeah.
And you can get to our podcast on Google. You can get to them on Amazon Music, Spotify, my ministry, the Sword and Dove Ministries.com. That's Sword in the letter N and Dove. Or you can come to the station site, thewordcleveland.com. If you do go to some of those platforms, please subscribe, and we would appreciate that. But we are coming to you live from the North Coast in the Great Lakes region of North America.
Did you know that in the four Gospels, there are 19 healing stories of the lame, the sick, and the dead? And only twice did our Lord go to them unsolicited. It took a proactive step of faith by the infirmed person or their family member to boldly track down Jesus. They had to learn to believe and receive their miracle. My friends, you are going to love this Healing School class from Mike Fodor's Sword and Dove Home Study Academy course. You too can rise up and be healed. How to walk in divine health. This course comes in an attractive 10 CD case or in MP3 files, class handouts included. To order, call or text Mike at 216-346-0789. A $50 donation to Sword and Dove Ministries for the 10 CD set for your library. A $25 donation for 10 MP3 files. That's 216-346-0789.
A new and unique call-in talk show is here, Understanding the Times. What a great way to promote your church or business. So consider becoming a sponsor today. Slots are filling up quick. Call or text 216-346-0789. Our team will help your business or church shine. With your partnership, we can understand the times even better. Call or text 216-346-0789. Ask about our multi-month package discount. Together, we can grow.
You're cruising along. Life is good. Got to enjoy my school years, you know. Then, boom, you're pregnant. You're stunned, panicked. There's three options: parent, abort, adopt. Before you choose and perhaps regret, contact American Adoptions. We offer counseling, financial aid, and support through your adoption journey. You can choose the next parents or still be the parent even after birth. Call 800-ADOPTION or visit AmericanAdoption.com. Give yourself a fresh start. Give your baby the gift of life.
Now back to Understanding the Times with Pastor Mike Fogel.
Hey, looking for a New Testament local church, one that's friendly, diverse demographics, a great worship experience, proclaims the sure word of faith, an altar ministry team that prays for the sick every service? The New Life Church in Lakewood is the place for you. Our current study is Relationships 101, and it's a dandy. We have 9 and 11 a.m. Sunday on-site and online services. Children's ministry is provided at both. So go to lnlc.org or Google New Life Lakewood to find us. Our motto, live like Jesus, minister like Jesus, and share his love. And we're back with Tricia Campbell, author of Eight Was Enough. I want to remind you, too, that this is a live call-in talk show. Our number is 888-677-WORD, W-O-R-D, if you have a question or comment for Tricia. So adoption is not for the faint of heart. It's not an easy task at any step of the way, is it?
No.
Tell us about a little bit of your journey there with five.
Well, when you've decided you want to adopt, you need to spend a fair amount of time finding the right agency for you, whether you're going to go public or private. That's a large process, figuring that out. And then you also have to do a home study. Home studies are huge. They take a long time. They are very involved. But it's not impossible. It's not difficult. It's just a lot. And Dave used to joke that if we held all the paperwork in front of my belly before the before the baby came, it would look like a pregnancy, like that much paper. It was just like a ridiculous amount of paper.
Wow. That's
so, but, you know, it's all financials and medicals and all that stuff. And So we went through all that process, and we ended up, our first adoption was a little boy. He was the child of two teenagers. He was multiracial, and he was 10 months old. And the agency we went through, the social worker there kind of swam upstream against the current at the time. The National Association of Black Social Workers was very vehemently working against kids of color being put in white homes. So she said, you know, here's the stats. The statistics are 85% of the kids in care are kids of color. And that means black, it means Hispanic, it means what all and everything, right? So every color kid. And she said, if 85% of the kids in care are kids of color, but there's only 15% of families that are ready to adopt are families of color, then we have a problem. And I'm not going to put them in long-term foster care. I want them all to have forever homes. It's not fair to them. So she really swam upstream against the current. And anyway.
So she was a good social worker.
She was awesome. Yeah. She was great.
The way that a social worker should be thinking.
Right. Really, thinking on behalf of the kids.
Yes.
And she was great. So we ended up, we got him. He was 10 months old, and she decided our family would be best for him because we already had kids. She's like, he's 10 months old. You already know where he's been developmentally and where he's going and where he's at and all that. Whereas a family that has never had a child wouldn't know. So we just feel that your family would be the best fit for him. And so we got him. And a few months after we got him, I confessed today that I thought Danielle was still out there, and he said, that's okay, so do I. And I was like, oh, good, because I thought you were going to think I was crazy. Because we have four little kids, you know. I mean, we had a one-year-old, a three-year-old, a five-year-old, a seven-year-old. And I was like, I think Danielle's still out there. So anyway, we both decided we would just pray about it and keep it under our caps, and we did. And then we got a call 3 months later from a friend who is actually a nurse in the inner city, and she said, I had a dream last night. You guys had a baby girl. I said, well, keep it under your hat, but Dave and I still think Danielle is out there. And she's close enough friend that she already knew about the dreams and stuff. She goes, seriously? I was like, yeah, seriously. So, yeah, so that's how we ended up going on down that path. We just kept watching God walk out each single step. And then Danielle, we actually found Danielle, the actual one. And it was totally by divine appointment.
Everybody's probably wondering, if they've been listening, did she have one arm?
She did not. But you know what the scoop with that one arm was? And this was something that God showed me after, was just that we had to accept that she had one of what everybody else has two of. She had one parent. And when you adopt, you need the parents to both sign off. And if you can't get them both to sign off, you can have a problem where you'd have a putative parent coming back and breaking up the adoption. So we had to trust God that it was okay that she had one parent, because she only had a mom. And so, yeah. Did you end up
naming her Danielle?
Well, we found out the day she was born. We had decided on two names. We thought Olivia and Alicia. And we had decided that Alicia Danielle sounded prettier. We just thought it'd be kind of cool to have two prophets for your name. And so it's like Elisha the prophet. And then that was her name. And the day she was born, we found out that the birth mom's middle name was Danielle.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a really cool confirmation.
Comes from that prophetic dream.
Yeah. Yep.
So what would you say to young Christian parents that may be considering adoption for whatever reasons?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them? You know, it seems like there needs to be a real calling to
right.
that, right?
Well, I would say, I mean, if you are called to it, then God will make a way. There's no obstacle he can't move. Any mountain gets in the way, he's going to throw it in the sea. So if you're called to that, if you're not called, it's going to be a bit of a slog, because it's not easy. And when you know that it was God, you can lean back on that and lean back on him. And go, okay, God, here you go. You need to make a way here. I don't know. I don't see the way here. And he's the one that has to part the Red Sea, or he's the one that has to make a donkey talk, or whatever. You know, he's going to make it happen. So we could do that because we knew that we knew he had called us into that, right? So when the going got really tough, I didn't have to go, oh my gosh, did I hear straight, or was I, you know, am I crazy? What did I do? I totally messed up my life, or whatever. I wouldn't say that, because I knew that that was what God had called us to. So I didn't have to second guess.
You had the word of the Lord. You had prophetic dreams.
I knew.
And then you had circumstances that came along to confirm.
To confirm, right. And so when you know that you know that you're called to it, then you can feel a peace about that, you know.
Well, I think if it's the desire of your heart is, you know, you're a Christian married couple and you're having trouble having kids, or you want more than the ones you have, whatever, like in your case, mm-hmm. well, then I think that's a good desire, and I think God will find a way to make that happen, because there's a lot of kids out there that need good homes, good Christian homes, aren't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of kids in care. Right now, I think there's 500,000 nationwide in foster care.
Half a million.
I don't think they're all permanent custody. So there's 500,000 in foster care, but there's well north of 100,000 that are permanent custody, and permanent custody means that they're adoptable.
Adoptable.
Yeah.
And so why is that number so big when there's so many, it seems, people looking for babies,
right,
for children? The system, does it make it complicated here in America?
The system is very complicated, and it does have its flaws.
A lot of people end up going overseas to get adopted babies, right?
I know.
There's got to be reasons
right here.
For that.
I mean, a lot of times when the kids were growing up, they'd go, oh, where are they from? Like they wanted me to say Ethiopia or Haiti or something. They go, Cleveland? Like, well, no, one's from Lorraine.
Okay.
Out of county, but that's as far as we went.
And these were the ones that God brought to you. You weren't looking for any particular kind.
No, and
or
there
color
were there were times. No, there were times when the phone rang and at 8 a.m. and the baby was home at 8 p.m. So how could that possibly be? I wasn't looking for anything. I was finishing breakfast.
8 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
And at 8 p.m. you had the baby.
Yeah.
In your house.
Right.
That quick.
That quick.
Well, you must.
But our home study was up to date, and we were already foster parents and all that stuff. So, I mean, once you're
you had a good
in
reputation,
the process,
you must have.
Right, right. Well, they knew. Yeah,
they
right.
knew you.
I mean, they knew us, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yes, that did happen. So, yeah, those kinds of things can happen.
That's amazing.
So, yeah,
you didn't know another child was coming that morning, and by that night.
I woke up that morning getting everybody ready for school. The usual crazy Campbell turmoil in the morning, trying to get everybody's backpacks packed and everybody on their dress for school and all that stuff. And then the phone rang after they got out the door, and it was a social worker. And by nighttime, he was home.
Well, I commend you particularly and your husband. You must have had a lot of energy and passion and vision and determination to make this work and to make this happen.
You know, the scripture that talks about God slipping his strong right arm under yours, he did that a lot.
Tell our audience one more time how they can get your book, Tricia. It was enough.
It's on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's available at Fireside Bookstore in Chagrin Falls, Ohio. Or you can just go on my website, TrishaKCampbell.com, and just hit the button for buy the book.
And I recommend it. It's an easy read, and there's a lot of great stories in there, and a lot of personal anecdotes too. I noticed you'd like to include little stories.
Well, you know, there's some points in the story, Mike, where you really need a little tension break.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So they're
and
there.
And you have some pictures along the way, so it is a very easy read.
Yeah.
And I think you'll find it enjoyable, and if you are into Christian parenting at this point in your lives or thinking about adoption, is something you're going to want to do. And we'll have one more talk segment with us. Again, we're a live call-in talk show. If you want to call in and talk to Tricia, 888-677-WORD, W-O-R-D. We're coming to you from Cleveland.
A little stress lately from work.
I needed that report like yesterday.
From home.
You better not have flushed another gerbil down.
From the world. A new tropical pandemic has formed in the mid-Atlantic. A fourth layer of masking is now required. Then treat yourself to a touch of healing massage. It's simply the best. This Christian-based practice has provided certified massage therapy for 3 decades within Westlake Chiropractic. So if you or someone you know needs deep tissue or relaxation massage, then call or text Nanette at Touch of Healing, 216-346-5867. Gift certificates available. Mention this show and get $10 off on your first visit. That's Nanette, like the play No No Nanette, at 216-346-5867. So don't stress, but de-stress with a touch of healing massage.
Today's real estate market is like whitewater rafting, and it's level 5 rapids if you're the buyer. The millennials are moving in. You need a seasoned captain to navigate your search to acquire your dream home. Let Judy Knupp at Howard Hanna be your captain. Judy's been a realtor for 35 years in the greater Cleveland market. She'll tell you that she started when she was 5. And she knows a great value or not when she sees one. Selling? Judy has a photographer stage your home into a showcase to get you top dollar. Howard Hanna's number one status gives Judy all the tools and one-stop shopping for all your needs. So just Google Judy Knupp, Howard Hanna. It's that simple. Mention this show and your home inspection is included on the house. So call or text Judy at 216-337-0247. That's 337-0247. And let Judy be the captain of your real estate adventure.
Now back to Understanding the Times with Pastor Mike Fogel.
And we're back with you here in Understanding the Times with Tricia Campbell, author of Eight Was Enough, live in the studio. So if you want to call in, talk to her, now's your chance, 888-677-WORD, W-O-R-D. Brother Andrew's starting to fall asleep back there, so let's wake him up. All right, so you tell us what your motto is, what it means, and then I want you to tell us a little bit about the PEG system. We're going to talk about Christian parenting this segment.
Well, my tagline is, parenting is the hardest job you'll ever love. And it is a very hard job, and it's getting harder every day with the way our culture is going and the way media is getting and all that stuff. But...
That was a long sigh.
Yeah, it's just what I want to say is, though, it's the hardest job you'll ever love because the rewards are so extreme, too. You know, it's so difficult, but it's so rewarding, and it's so fulfilling.
Sometimes those are called grandchildren.
Yeah, I already have a dozen.
A dozen?
A dozen.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I already have a dozen.
Dozen is enough?
I don't think they're done.
But you had a system you developed, and it worked quite well, evidently,
yes.
Called the PEG system,
yes.
To help develop discipline and organizational skills,
right.
And a work ethic, and not a welfare system.
Right.
For the children. Talk about that, because I found that fascinating.
Yeah, we were trying to come up with a system. We worked at it for years, trying to come up with something that worked, and this is where we finally landed. We tried all kinds of things with stickers and charts.
We is important. It's important to have a united front.
Yeah, we had a united front, definitely.
These types of things,
it was
right?
A united front. And Dave and I were trying to find a way to make it like, to shift some of the onus onto them, and that it wasn't quite right that there were all these adults doing all these things, right? So if a kid, we always said that if a kid can do something, they should do it. I mean, if your kid can carry his backpack, don't carry his backpack. If your kid can make his bed, it may be lumpy, bumpy, whatever.
Mothers are not enablers, are they?
Let it be lumpy and bumpy. Let them make their bed, right? And so we would always try to empower them a little bit with, you know, you can do this and you can do that. And we would try to teach them things that they could do. And you know, you're mindful of their age. You're mindful of their size. You're mindful of their developmental abilities, whatever. But we also always said that your kids don't do what you expect. They do what you inspect. And so we were always very mindful to...
That's wise.
Yeah. You got to go and check on it and see what they did. And the more you do that, then they learn to do things the right way. And you can sort of taper off and let them go. But anyway, the PEG system was just 4 pegs a day. And each peg had certain things associated with them. So the morning peg was yellow, like the sun comes up. So the yellow peg basically meant that you had to have your bed made, your teeth brushed, you had to be dressed and ready for school on time, and then your yellow peg went in the hole. So before they went out the door, the yellow peg would go in the hole. And they knew that that was the expectation. So I didn't have to go after them to get stuff done or to get, you know what I mean? If you get up late, you're gonna mess up your pegs, right? So, and they didn't want to. So then the next peg was the red peg, and the red peg was the chore peg, and that meant you had You had one room that you had to straighten. You had one chore you had to do. And then you had one thing you had to do with help with dinner. So each peg is associated basically with three things. So it was one, one, one. So they had, like, they'd say, Mom, you know, what room do I have? I said, I'd like you to straighten the living room. And then I'd like you to empty the hamper. And then I'd like you to set the table. That would be red peg. Okay?
Yeah.
But interestingly, like one time, Daniel came home from school and he obviously had something to do. He was looking for what he could do to help with dinner because he knew he wanted to get out the door. And so he saw the light on the dishwasher, meaning that the dishes from breakfast were clean. And he's like, I cleaned that dishwasher. Like, I was like, what kid? Of, you know, like, I think it was 9 or 10.
Egg system's working.
Claims the dishwasher, but that's what he did. Yeah. And it turned out he wanted to go pollywogging with his friend, his other buddy, Dan.
Pollywogging.
He wanted to go pollywogging, so he wanted to get his pegs done, which means, all right, so you got yellow peg, you got red peg, that's the chore peg. Then green peg is the growth peg. And it's green because you either practice something like if you have piano or dance or gymnastics or whatever you're learning, you practice hockey. Go practice hockey. And then you have your practice, you have your homework that you need to do, and then you have to work on the scripture verse for the week. So those are the three things associated with the green peg.
I'm glad to hear there's a scripture verse.
There's a scripture verse once a week, and the little kids got a smaller segment, and the bigger kids got a longer segment. But it was always the same basic scripture. And so they would have those three things with the green peg, but it was also green because green meant go. So if you got yellow, red, and green in the holes, then you could go with your buddies pollywogging, or you could go and ask if I could go over to my friend's house, or you could go ask if you could watch a video, or you could go ask, you know, it seemed like the
so
green means go.
You had to have those three pegs that
those,
day
those three
to
are
go
in.
Somewhere
right.
After school or whatever.
If you want to do something else, if you want to go, then you got to get through the green.
Wow.
Now, the last peg of the day was the bedtime peg, and that was just basically that they had to...
Oh, you got to tell us what color it was.
Oh, it was like a midnight blue.
Oh. All right.
So it was kind of dark, yeah. And they had to get their teeth brushed. They had to get their stuff ready. Like, they would make this... I called it a clothes person on the floor, so that they would lay it all out and then they could put it on in order in the morning. It made the mornings easier when they made their clothes person before bed. So they brush their teeth, do the clothes person, and say their prayers, and in bed on time, then you got your blue peg. And then you would come to me or Dave or our nanny at the time and get the chit signed that said how many pegs you got that day, and we would sign the chit, you know, you got four, and Dave sometimes would quiz them or whatever to make sure, and then they would put the chit in the box. Then on Saturday, the box gets opened up, and all the chits get counted, and they got paid per peg. And what we did was we made it really pay off if you were thorough. If you were thorough and consistent, and you got every peg, you got paid double. So it was really worth it. You
Bonus.
Didn't want to miss one. You just didn't. You wanted to get them all done. So, yeah. So, and we made it, the pegs were paid by your age, like per peg, because the bigger kids would do harder jobs, and they also had more need of money, like they would go to the movies with their friends or whatever.
Right.
So the kids, it was by age. I think we did a nickel per year. So like if you were 5, you would get 25 cents a peg, or if you were 10, you would get 50 cents a peg, like that. And
with inflation, it'd be quarter now, right?
Yeah, brutal. But anyway, so
the kids bought into this, right?
They totally bought into this.
They wanted that double bonus, incentive.
It gave them a little power over their lives, right? I mean, they could actually save up for something or do something between Christmas and birthday. They could, if they needed a new bike or whatever, they have the ability to save up. So anyway, Saturday came. We would count up the chits. Then Dave would say you have to save 10%, you have to invest 10%, which meant a long-term goal, and then you also had to give to church. And then the rest of it, you decided whether you wanted it to go into savings or if you wanted to, if there was something you wanted to buy or do with it or whatever. And the, and then the kids would learn how to handle money that way too. So we also, we have them do things like, if they were going to go to a friend's birthday party, they would buy the present. And so they learned that, that they would save their money so that they could get what they wanted for their friend or whatever. But it was good because it made them accountable. It made them more responsible with money and stuff.
Teach them how, what the real world is like.
Right,
how does the business world work? It,
right.
It rewards you for achieving all right. the pegs.
Right.
And gives
and
you bonuses.
And if you wanted to do more jobs and earn more money, go for it. That's how the world works. You come to me and ask me for more jobs, I'll give them to you, and you can earn more money if that's what you, if you're saving up for whatever you wanted.
So but, did all the kids eventually kind of buy into this?
Oh, yeah.
So the biological
yeah.
and the adopted?
Oh, absolutely.
Everyone,
everybody did the
everybody
pegs.
Had the same
everybody
system.
Did
and,
pegs.
And they were all kind of on board with
yeah.
that. They got used
that
to it.
That was how life was at our house. But anyway, there's a really detailed download of it on my website. If you want to go on my website, you can just go on TrishaKCampbell.com, and there's a download you can get all about the PEG system. It's more detailed. So.
And that's where you can get the book as well, Eight Was
yeah,
Enough.
Yeah, you can get the book there, too.
Hey, well, I've enjoyed our conversation
and
talking about your testimony and book and family and PEG
yeah.
system.
Yeah.
We'll have to have you on again, Tricia Campbell.
I would love that.
Hey, I want to remind you again that in only 8 months, you can get a certification from Ohio Media School in Cleveland. There I produced radio ads for Arby's, 7-Eleven, jewelry stores, ice cream stores, a promo for my dream rock concert, the Eagles and Moody Blues, a public service announcement for American Adoptions, co-hosted a campus radio show, Great Lakes Sports Takes, and that's just on the audio side. Call Ohio Media School at 216-503-5900 or go to beonair.com and spark your passion. Thanks for listening to Understanding the Times. Talk to you next Wednesday, 8 p.m.
Thanks for tuning in to Understanding the Times with Pastor Mike Folder, a call-in talk show that looks at current events and major issues of our generation through the lens of the sure word of faith and prophecy.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.